this is a structure that they're actually going to attach to the proposed bridge. And it occurs, you know, they have a couple of these, I believe, you know, throughout the length of the structure so that they can, you know, hook up the beams to it and move them over into place and set them.
Paul, I just have a curiosity question. On your previous slide, you showed as you expand from 6 to 8, I'm just curious, why is the length going to be shorter in the new structure? On the one slide before, you had
number 3.
Back 2 slides.
Yeah, there. Yeah, up one more. Right there.
Your chart.
Go down. Your chart there. Go back one more.
Okay.
Right there.
The bottom of the.
Yeah, so you
so the width is going to be wider because we're going to have 4 lanes with full shoulders, and the length is going to be, it's roughly the same.
Okay.
1383 to 1315, there's not much different in the length of the structure. It may be because we're moving the new abutments inside the old abutments so that they can actually start working on those, you know, ahead of time without having to take down the existing abutments.
Okay, thank you.
I think that's the, yes.
And I think you mentioned that the pedestrian walkways would be hung from the bridge itself.
Yeah, I have a picture of that, and we're going to get to that.
Okay, great.
So you'll be able to see how, you know, our ideas about that too.
Okay.
This is another picture of the overhead gantry system. So you can see, you know, they build this type of overhead gantry, which is attached to the new structure, and we use it to, you know, move the beams into place. We're going to have photos taken throughout the whole construction duration. Like, they get taken at, I forget what it is, if it's every half hour or, so we're going to be able to string this together. You're going to be able to see the whole structure get built over time. We did something similar to that when we built the big 355 Des Plaines Valley Bridge. There are a lot of things for the environment also in this, and one of the key things is we're going to have fewer piers in the Fox River. We're actually going to reduce the number of piers in the river by 50%. Right now, I believe we have 6 piers in the water. You can see them right here. The new piers are going to be constructed in between those, and we're going to only have 3 in the water. So that's something that I know the regulatory agencies are going to be very happy about, less disturbance there. And basically, we're being able to accomplish that because we're going to use deeper beams than what the existing structure has. The existing structure, I think, is at least some of these beams are 54-inch, and the new structure is going to have 90-inch precast PPC I-beams, and those are going to allow us to span greater distances. I like the flowers. We're doing a lot here on the stormwater management side. We have this forested fen. It's a very high quality Illinois nature area. We did a visit with the representative from the Illinois Nature Preserve, and we saw this forested fen. He explained to us how the groundwater there is unique and how the plants there are unique to the whole state of Illinois. So we're taking special measures. Right now, there is some direct runoff from the roadway into the river. That's not going to happen when we get done with our bridge. We're actually going to build areas and detention areas where the stormwater will be directed to first, so it has opportunity to be infiltrate and get filtered before it gets discharged. We're also going to do some special lining on the storm sewers because we want to prevent there to be any cross movement from groundwater into the storm sewers or vice versa. So that's going to preserve this high quality groundwater that they have there and preserve the plant life that is occurring in this forested fen. This is the best picture we could get, Director Weisner, of the pedestrian bridge. But right now it sits right in the middle of the structure, and we're gonna reconstruct it there. And the cool aspect of this is that we're gonna get a use out of it. We're gonna actually build it wide enough so that when we do biannual inspections of all of our structures, we're gonna be able to put our inspection vehicles on here, and the engineers are going to be able to go up and inspect the underside of the deck by using this pedestrian bridge. So it's actually going to serve two purposes. This is the bike path connection between both sides of the river, and we're going to use it for our inspection purposes for the underside of the deck.
So Paul, can I just follow up on that?
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about pedestrian ways and bike ways. Is that a combined situation, or is there separation of those two functions on this bridge?
I believe the pedestrian path and the bike path are combined on this bridge right here.
So there'll be no separation?
There will be no separation. And I don't think there is today either.
Mm-hmm. And it's very narrow today. I mean, it's much narrower than it will be.
Yes, we're going to, like I said, we're going to make it wide enough so that we can at least put a vehicle on it.
But there's no reason you couldn't paint a line down it, right? And say, bike people. I'm thinking about my friends who are scared to go on the bike path these days if they're walking. Is that what you're...
Tell them there are other things to be afraid of.
You have to listen for on your left. Usually that's the passing traffic. And I think that's the last slide I have. Over time.
Thank you very much. You know, I know Paul and engineering can work very hard on this project, but also even this presentation and trying to, the graphics of how this is going to be built are not easy to develop, but it's I think it was worth it for us to walk through it because it is going to be so unique, and they've done a great job. So I don't know if there are any other questions, but we're very excited to be able to present this to board today. So the last thing I have is that the strike that was impacting some of the ready mix plants has ended, and we've not seen and won't see, I don't think, any impacts to our project. So we're happy to report that. I know we let the board know that there was that strike, but at this point it seems to be over, and there haven't been any impacts on any of our projects. So full steam ahead.
Thank you. And I was commenting to Christie this morning. The regular updates on things are just very useful for the director. So thank you for keeping us updated. Okay, so I think we can turn to the consent agenda.
Ma'am,
oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, I apologize. I wonder. I was paying attention to the executive session minutes, and I could let the board minutes kind of slip by me. I did want to just address an issue that was raised in the minutes. And that dealt with the information provided by Christy at that last meeting, that the Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration was looking at an update to proposed rules and mandates regarding trucking firms and drivers to upgrade that. And I just wanted to say that since the initial news came out, and obviously the driver himself was identified, and to some extent made to look as the sole person responsible. Since then, there's been some articles that have indicated that the trucking firm in question may or may not have performed as it should have itself. And that, to me, is not terribly surprising, because they have the power, the authority, and the paycheck to kind of control the situation, and they also have, I think, in a lot of cases, contracts that give them a little bit of separation from the drivers that may go to the liability issues as well. But I'm concerned when I hear that this federal agency that has this kind of an acronym that you can't even pronounce, so I won't even try, but the city of Aurora has been dealing with some rail regulatory situations, freight. Rail and the agencies in question, the problem that we're working on was identified in 1991, and as yet there are no firm regulations or changes that have been made. So when I see things go in that direction, I'm not reassured that we're actually going to get any results, and I am concerned about the role the trucking agency may have played. I'm certainly not going to cast any aspersions, but I do think that it's in our best interest to make it very clear that whoever the authority is that's investigating the accident on the local level that, you know, that we support that investigation. We want to see nothing left, no evidence left unturned here as well. And I do think that we need to be making sure and following this process so that what comes out of this are solutions that are, you know, it was kind of the reassurance that these log books, et cetera, that was, oh, you know, we have all this handled. Well, clearly, we don't. And agencies and trucking firms using our tollway need to be held accountable, and we need to be reassured that our tollway is as safe as possible so that a reoccurrence of what we saw happen recently doesn't happen. So I just want to say that as a board member, I'm definitely going to stay involved on this and speak out on this issue. And I think this whole board, whether we need to pass resolutions for this federal agency or whatever to indicate our concern, then I think we need to do those things. And I think we owe no less, you know, to Vincent Petrella and his family or to Trooper Ballner himself. So I think we need to take a look at what we can do to assure that proper things are done going forward, and also that the proper folks at fault are held accountable. And the last thing I would mention is that when we talk and we deal with trucking, constitutes a large part of the business that occurs on the tollway. And we do at intervals sit down with trucking representative firms, industrial trucking industry representatives, etc. And it would be my suggestion that when we do that next time around, that we make sure we're including truck drivers and their representatives themselves also in these conversations, so that we make sure we have a very broad understanding of what goes on. So I just wanted to bring that up. I think it's important that we stay or persist in making sure that this is pursued at an investigative level, but also pursued until some positive regulatory scheme comes out of it.
So. Well, I mean, we appreciate that very much, and of course, if you know, continue to advocate for, you know, electronic logbooks, for instance, we think that's very important to be implemented. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but we have, I know the state police have taken the initiative of, particularly I think on the anniversary of Trooper Sauter's death, to do some extra enforcement around, you know, distracted driving, but particularly trucking and truckers throughout the state, not just on the tollway system, but, you know, additional enforcement there as well to just, you know, make sure that everybody's in compliance. I mean, the vast majority, we hope certainly that the vast majority of truck drivers are responsible and doing their jobs the way they should and aren't distracted or overtired or in an unsafe situation, but, you know, enforcement is a big part of it. We've looked at any legislation that we could advance at the state level, and, you know, we're interested in that, but frankly, you know, with interstate trucking and companies able to locate, you know, in different states or just across the state line and maybe be subject to different state laws, you know, those ideas probably aren't the most effective. But we agree we'll continue to advocate and push, and we'll look into next month if a resolution from the board would be helpful and we can pass it on to the federal government. You know, that again, these are just enforcing the regulations that are in place and implementing the rules that are in place with electronic logs, I think would be a huge step in the right direction. So. And I think that there was progress made in that regard, right? That they finally...
Yes, they started moving forward with that. Also, in addition, we were notified last week that based on some investigations and follow-up from federal DOT, that the company involved was originally placed out of service and they were restricted from doing business. However, since that time, they have gone to court and they have been granted sort of a stay to allow them to go back into operation. So the investigation is continuing. Everything is being looked at as much as possible, and regulatory agencies are trying to take action on the company as well.
Could I ask under whose jurisdiction this investigation is proceeding?
It's going on multiple levels, actually, because there's our investigation that involves the state police, excuse me, and Illinois Department of Labor, but there's also NTSB has some jurisdiction in this, so there are some things going on at the federal level. Because of interstate trucking, federal DOT also is reviewing the following up with the company.
So just as a note, this is the March 27th minutes on pages 9 and 10, and I think in there it says that the, we'll report back to the board, and we don't have to decide it now, but maybe Christie and Directors Wisner and Reddick can talk about whether this is something you want to bring through this, the new strategic planning customer service committee, so we really can have some members of the board who have an in-depth understanding of this. Before we bring a resolution forward, for example, so we can maybe add that to the work of
the
that
work plan.
Committee.
That's fine. Good.
Thank you, and thank you for raising it, Director Wise. I appreciate it. Anything else before we get to the consent agenda? I will give my usual disclaimer, which is, as you've heard, the items on this list have gone through committees and have been looked at carefully, so that it feels as if we're flying through them, but we actually are not. That doesn't mitigate any interest that it, or shouldn't mitigate any interest anyone has in asking questions if you weren't at the committee meeting or if you haven't had an opportunity to talk to the staff in advance. If you have any questions, let us know. So we'll start with 6.1, which is finance, and I believe that Director Reddick is recused on this. Okay. May I hear a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? And we have the one recusal. We'll go then to procurement, item 6.2, number 1. May I hear a motion on that?
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. Any recusals or abstentions? Thank you. Engineering, I believe the first item we were going to talk about in more detail.
Yes. So the first item is a construction contract award. This is for doing some advanced utility work. We need to do this work for our M1 maintenance facility in order to get that contract. That contract was actually advertised, I believe, yesterday. But in order for that contract to move forward, we have to do some utility relocations in advance. That's what this contract is going to do for us. We did get 4 bids on this contract. John Burns is the low bidder at $632,777.77. They're coming in under budget. I like the grouping of the bidders on this, and they're going to commit to actually slightly exceed our DBE goal. So we're recommending that we consider this as a contract award.
Are there any questions on this? Okay, and I apologize. Thank you. Before we go into the engineering, I skipped business systems, so I know it's very sad. So we'll go back and pick up 6.3, and then we'll continue through the engineering. I was just so eager to hear about utilities. So let's take number 1 on 6.3. Are there any questions? This is Jacob Engineering. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No refusals that I know of and abstentions. Okay. So we'll go back to engineering. Number 2, we've been through in the committee. Number 3 is going to be deferred?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. And then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 are all okay. They've been through the committee. Any questions or concerns about any of those? Okay. So we'll hear, I would.
Chair, would you be good enough just to do number 1, please, standing alone, and then the one from the consent?
I would be happy to do number 1 alone. So let's do a motion on number 1.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Recusals or abstentions? Then we'll take 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Recusals, abstentions? Okay, thank you. Number 11, we'll come back after executive session to discuss. Then we can take legal, 6.5, and I believe 1, 2, 3, and 4 are ready.
There's a recusal.
There's a recusal on 3, thank you. Anybody have any questions on any of these? 1 through 4? Okay, So I'll take a motion of one and two.
Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposition? Okay. No recusals or abstentions. We'll take three separately. The motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Director Reddick has a recusal and abstentions. We'll take number four. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Recusals, abstentions. And number five?
You need to present that one to you, Chair.
Thank you. I'm ready. I think we're all ready.
We have a few colleagues in the room, so this may be by joint exercise, but I do want to start off by thanking various parties within the tollways, senior staff, as well as the Illinois State Police, in this case, District 2. As the board well knows, we have a close ongoing relationship with District 15 patrolling the toll roads. But in this situation, with the building of the Elgin O'Hare, the team has determined some very specific needs along the way of that project over the next few years, and it will be necessary to get a couple additional hands on deck and additional police presence, primarily for the maintenance of traffic. So we've identified those and had an agreement in place with District 2 ISP to allow the tollway to call when needed on 10 days advance notice, 4 days advance notice when there's full closures involved. And there's essentially a standard type arrangement when agencies are utilizing additional police time, standard type payment as far as hourly rates to be paid. This agreement has an outside cap on potential payments up to $499,800. I would point out that there is significant flexibility built into that number, since this is not an exact science. About 40% of that number is contingency. So I think the board can feel comfortable that we not necessarily need to come back anytime soon before blowing through limits here. The agreement will run through 2017. Again, this is basically an additional officer or two at very specific times. There's a good schedule. And if Paul or Rocco have anything else to add that we missed on salient terms, we would ask for the permission to proceed with an agreement. Touching on the items I've just outlined, we have a little fine-tuning to do on the paperwork, but that would be the essence of the agreement.
Director Red.
The $499, the dollar value, that's split up over the 2 years of the agreement?
It will start effective as soon as we're ready to sign through November of 2017, and it includes 2 1-year renewals beyond 17. $499 would be outside limit on the total period, including extensions.
Okay. And the as far as this money from the budget, does that come from? Where does that come from?
I'm pretty sure it's from the Elgin O'Hare.
Part of the project budget.
Okay.
The Elgin O'Hare budget. And this is fairly standard. I mean, we have obviously made and accounted for in District 15's budget additional service this year and going forward because of the construction zones. This is something that if the Illinois Department of Transportation is working on a project, they will often build this in. So this isn't necessarily unusual.
11 in our executive session. And then we'll come back into regular session and vote on them. Is there any unfinished business? Any new business? I hear a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
No, we need to have Dave read to us this fabulous
motion. Motion to proceed to executive session pursuant to exceptions of the Illinois Open Meetings Act, specifically section 2C1 to discuss personnel items, 2C2 to discuss collective bargaining, 2C5 to discuss land acquisition, and 2C11 to discuss litigation involving coal.
No. So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Don't forget to call your mother on Mother's Day. How long do we need?
15.
About 15 minutes. Okay, yeah. So about 5 after we'll come back. Thank you.
We're on the air. So we have two items we'd like to vote on. The first is engineering item number 11. May I hear a motion, please? All in favor? I'm sorry, second. Got a second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? And then we have legal item number 6 at the, as we discussed in executive session. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions or recusals? No? Okay, thank you. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. We'll see you next month.